Tiffany here?
Hallelujah. Amen. Welcome, everybody. We're here to worship the Lord. Josh and Pastor Mike, we're here to worship the Lord. Let's get in our places, guys. We're here. And everybody right now in Vermont, wherever you are, we're here to worship the King. In Kampala, Uganda, we're here to worship the King. It's a beautiful thing. Read this morning, he who has his eyes fixed on him will purify himself just as he is pure.
Amen.
We get to praise him. It is a privilege. It is a privilege to be with you. It is a privilege that we get to lift his name up on high. You've been gifted when the grace of God opened your eyes to see that he was Lord and he is Lord. You are gifted now to show the world he's worthy of all your praise. Amen.
Amen.
When did that happen? When death was arrested. Amen?
Amen.
When death was arrested and your new life began. Let's go, Daniel.
Without hope and no place to begin, your love made a way to let mercy come in. When death was arrested and my life began,
everybody
redeemed, only beauty remains.
Hallelujah. Think about that.
My orphan heart was given a name.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
My morning grew quiet, my feet rose to ten.
When death was arrested,
your grace so free washes over me. You have made me new. Now life begins with you.
Begins with you, Lord Jesus, right now. Hallelujah.
It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new. Now life begins with you.
Released from my chain, I'm a prisoner no more.
Hallelujah. No longer prisoners. Hallelujah.
My shame was a ransom he faithfully bore.
He canceled my debt. Called me his friend.
When death was arrested and my life began.
Displayed on a criminal's cross, darkness rejoices though heaven had lost.
everybody.
But then Jesus arose with our freedom in hand. That's when death was arrested and my life began.
Sing it to him.
Oh, your grace so free washes over me. You have made me new. Begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new. Now life begins with you. Oh, we're free, free, forever we're free. Come join song of all the redeemed. Yes, we're free, free, forever, amen. When death was arrested in my life began. Oh, we're free, free, forever, we're free. Come join the song of all the redeemed. Yes, we're free, free, forever, amen. When death was arrested in my life began. When death was arrested in my life began. That's when death was arrested in my life began.
Do you know that as a truth in your heart? Do you really, really know that? I hope so. Amen.
Sorry. Amen. Amen. Worship team, I have a request. I'd like you to go sit down, please. We're going to do things a little differently here this morning. And my prayer is that the Lord will meet you right where you are, and perhaps even more importantly, that you'll meet him right here where he is. I want to ask you, as you sit now, no doubt in some ways perhaps curious, what's on your mind? I want to ask you whether you're here on Kent Island, whether you're in the movie theater in Vermont. Guys, even in the booth, everybody but Matthew, if you would, come on out. I want to ask you what you're thinking. What's on your mind? Ray here right now, what are you thinking? What's on your mind? How are you thinking? Today I want you to consider how you consider. I want you to think about coming in this morning. What was on your mind the last 30, 60, 90 minutes? How many of you got here a little hurried? Whew, made it in. I'm not late today. How many of you were bickering in the car? How many of you right now are thinking, oh, great, one of those messages? Hey, Rob, would you do me a favor and just leave that open? I'd like to be able to see everybody as they come in. And I'd like everybody to be able to see that we're engaged in worship. I don't want anybody on the worship team worrying about the order of service today. What song order? What are we going to do? I don't want anybody worried about how they sound when they sing. I don't want anybody worried about whether or not the sound system is tweaked just right to go across the internet. This is a time and a place of worship. I want to ask you, did you come in? Not just ready to worship, but did you come in worshiping? Where have your thoughts been the last 30, 60, 90 minutes? Where have they been the last day or two? Tell me a little bit about your thought process on Wednesday, say, I don't know, 11:35 in the morning. How about Friday, 4:15? Tuesday morning, 9:30. What's life been like for the last week? Month, year. I wonder if you're ready to worship. I wonder if you've come to worship. Let me just ask you. Matthew, you got to help me, buddy. I'm echoing heavily. Why are you here? Let me ask you this. When you're not here, why aren't you here? Let me ask you this. What are you thinking now that you're here? What aren't you thinking now that you're here? What is worship? What isn't worship to you? What does it take? Well, this is when we're supposed to be doing the music, right? Worship is doing the music. No. No, worship is a part of the heart. The question is, what are we doing and why are we doing it? How are we doing what we're doing? Think about it personally. What's your focus? What isn't your focus? Make it personal. Think about it on a level of priority. What do you prioritize? What don't you prioritize? Does it matter? How do you consider considering? See, we're walking through the book of Hebrews and we're continuing on. We've been in chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 for a while. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside, voluntarily submit, and surrender every encumbrance, everything that's okay but not best. And sin, by the way, that so easily entangles. And let us run with endurance the race set before us. I want to ask you, have you considered the cost of not considering Christ this way? You think this is making much of nothing? Is it a mountain instead of a molehill? I want you to worship our King in a way that is holistic. Say, well, I understand they start at 9:52 and the sermons begin at about 10:30, give or take a few minutes every week. I'll make sure that I'm there for the sermon. Really? Why is that? Is it a big deal to not engage in full holistic worship? So long as I get to the sermon, hey, I got to most of the singing. My prayer is that you'll see that worship, it begins with considering Christ, to really think about him, and that we don't need a particular order of service. We need a heart surrendered to the Christ, the King. And this morning, my prayer is that we are going to worship with prayer, praise, and proclamation of the word, and that you and I will be changed because of it. If you were with us during Secret Church, you know that prayer belongs woven into everything. And so I pray right now, Father, I come to you and I ask you to take this time of praise and worship and change us. Let our prayers be pleasing to you. Let our praises be authentic, and let the proclamation of your word go forth in a way that brings you glory and rightly shares your truth and love. I pray this in Jesus' name. And I'm going to intersperse worship songs throughout our time together this morning. And the children will be released at an appropriate time. And we're going to do things just like normal, except it's not going to be normal. And so I'm going to play songs that have the lyrics up there. You can sing the songs from the very core of your heart, I pray. Stand and belt it out if you'd like. Or sit and pray the words. Or just let them wash over you, as perhaps today you contemplate considering Jesus. Know this, that it all starts with the same love. The same love that you and I read in the Bible is here for you and me. And so, Matthew, if you would, take us into this first time of praise and worship. The same love.
Them high, you choose the weak and make them strong. You heal our brokenness inside and give us life. The same love that set the captives free. The same love that opened eyes to see is calling us all by name. You are calling us all by name. The same God that spread the heavens wide. The same God that was crucified is calling us all by name. Take the faithless one aside and speak the words, you are mine. You call the cynic and the proud, come to me now. The same love that set the captives free. The same love that opened eyes to see is calling us all by.
Take your seats. Again, we're worshiping together. I want you to think about this call to the cross. I see tears. Amen. Why is Jesus calling us to the cross? Because he loves us. I want you to think about, consider what Jesus did for you at the cross. And now consider what you did to Jesus that sent him to the cross. Consider Jesus. Consider the cost of not considering the cost. Father, I come to you now and I ask you to overwhelm us with your love and your presence. Lord, overwhelm us with your love and your presence. Let us consider you not through culture's eyes and not through church attendance, but through a passionate biblical worldview, that we will see you, know you, love you, live for you as you have laid out for us in your word. In Jesus' name I pray. And I pray Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2, and the very beginning of verse 3 for you. Listen to this. Father, let these words change us. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles, and let us run with endurance the race set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. You want to consider Jesus? Fix your eyes on him. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the founder and finisher of faith. When he said on the cross, it is finished. It was done. Who, for the joy set before him, he had joy set before him in saving your soul, Christian. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising its shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Period. Next sentence. Consider him. Consider him. One time in my preaching and pastoring privilege, I did a sermon on one word. It's the last word in the book of Acts. It's unhindered. This is a two-word sermon. Consider him, Christian. Consider him. Personally, passionately, eternally. This word consider in the Greek, it translates into an English word that we not only have as consider, but if you were to look at the English word logarithm, we get logarithm from the Greek word consider here. It means to deliberately contemplate, to deeply consider, to work through. One of the dictionaries said to add things up. Another one, and this was my favorite, says, it's a repeated reflection that goes up the ladder of truth. To really biblically consider him, it is to go through a repeated reflection that goes up the ladder of truth. I want you to consider Jesus this way. Consider his deity. He is God. Jesus is Lord. That's not a bumper sticker. Consider his Trinity. I want you to consider his power. Really consider his power, his promises, his priorities, his uniqueness. Consider Jesus' holiness. What does that mean to you? Consider it. Don't just fix your eyes on it and say, oh, I see it. Consider it. Take to heart, what does this aspect, and think of them all, what does this part of Jesus really mean for me? Well, another Sunday morning, got to get there before it's too late. Oh no, not that many songs. Oh, if he goes over an hour again, I'm telling you, I'm gonna just burst. I'm sick and tired of all those expectations. Doesn't he know about grace? Consider the attributes and the awesomeness of Jesus. Consider his priorities, his purposes, his way of dealing with his people. Consider his character. Consider his compassion. You'll see before we're done today, consider his cross. Consider his cup. Consider his church. It's not a place. It's people. A passionate people. Or it's not his church. I want you to consider how unchanging he is. Consider how unflinching and how uncompromising he is. You see, if I told you we were going to have a message on two words, you'd say, really? And truth be known, I could not do in a year justice fully to consider him, consider Christ, consider his faithful love, in his flowing blood. Consider his faithful love and his flowing blood. Now tell me again about his expectations upon you. Tell me again about how we ought to be satisfied with good enough. Tell me how it doesn't really matter all these standards and details of demonstrating genuine worship. Consider his witness. And then consider our witness. Consider Jesus. Lord, help us, I pray, to be informed, inspected, and inspired by your word. Lord, let this time of considering, fixing our eyes on you, let it change each and every one within the sound of my voice. Lord, I pray that your word will be ignited by your spirit, that your people will be invited and infused with this beautiful, beautiful call to genuine worship. Lord, I think about the opening words of Hebrews, what this particular book is all about. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But consider verse 2 of Hebrews 1. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Consider the God who speaks to us. Consider the God who is the one speaking to us. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed. Consider that he has been appointed the heir of all things, and through whom also God the Father created the world in and through Christ. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. Consider him who upholds the universe by the word of his power. And after making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Consider this definition of considering. Why don't we just allow Hebrews 1:1-3 to walk us through our consideration? You say, well, I'm not too big on Hebrews. I'll tell you what, why don't you jump into John 1. Take it down to verse 18. Consider Jesus there. Go anywhere you want in the Bible and consider the biblical Jesus. Get your definitions from the Word of God. 9 years ago, almost to the day, I want to show you the timelessness of this truth. I want you to consider Christ, consider his compassion, his commands, his commission, his cross, his cup, his church. Church, consider biblically. Let us get our definitions from the God of the Word and the Word of that God. Watch this and be taken back 9 years ago. Well, I want to welcome you to week number 5 of a series that we are in here at The Bridge called Defining Definitive Definitions. We are intentionally looking at the words and the terms and the phrases of Christianity that often get people tripped up. You see, it's very easy to go into conversations and say the same things, use the same words, and mean totally different things. And what's absolutely critical is that when we speak, we use the definitions that God has given us, biblical definitions. And so in week number 1 of this series, we looked at what is the gospel, not a gospel, but the gospel. We looked at the blueprint of divine truth and love, that which will separate eternities for those who accept all 100% of the gospel. And those who don't. The second week we looked at what is biblical belief. We acknowledged that biblical belief, what we called saving faith, is different than easy believism. It's not what you hold in your head. In short, what we saw, it's not if you believe, it's what and how you believe. A lot of folks are holding to a belief system that is not biblical. And regardless of how sincere or how hopeful they may be, if we're not believing in the gospel with all of our personhood, our mind, our heart, and our actions, we saw that we could not possibly be a true Christian, which is what was the essence of week number 3 when we said, what is Christianity? And we said, in short, Christianity is the church, not a church, not a structure, but it is the called out people of God in collective form. And we looked at over 60 verses that gave us an understanding and a perspective on what it is to be the church.
last week in week number 4, we said to understand what it is to be the church is to understand what it is to be born again. And we noted that that's a phrase that back in the 70s really started to get some negative stigma. And really, even today in general population, when you say somebody is born again, at least half the people are going to immediately go to a negative connotation. They're immediately going to go to, oh, Christian wacko, or one of those Jesus freaks. And I want to show you a graphic that I put up last week that we created that was designed to really bring clarity to what it is to be born again. And we noted that if you're going to use this term with integrity, that to be born again, there must first be a death. In reality, there must be two deaths. There must be two funerals represented by the two crosses. First, the big cross, the cross of Christ. That without Jesus having gone to the cross, the door to eternal life could never have been opened. But as we saw looking at Galatians 2:20 at the end of our time last week, that Jesus has created a door, but in order for us to walk through it, we must accept the gift of grace by faith, which is representative of our death to self. Well, I want to pick up this week, continuing on so that there is absolute clarity of understanding, and say, what is these two crosses? What do these two crosses really look like? What is to be crucified? What is the cross? I want you to look at this very, very carefully. Because if you don't understand the cross, you do not understand Christianity. If you do not understand the essence of what it is to see and to acknowledge Christ crucified, you will not and cannot understand what it is to have your call to be crucified with him. So this is at the heart of considering Christ. And some of you know this. We're called to fix our eyes on Jesus, that this is a 24/7, 365-day-a-year adoption, or it isn't, that there's no part-time gigs in the family of God, that you're either, it's like being pregnant, you can't be kind of pregnant, you either are or you aren't. This is the call, this is what it means, and I want you to consider, again, consider him, consider the one who came to do the will of the Father, Hebrews 10:7, the one who came to preach the gospel, to seek and save that which is lost, Hebrews 9:6, consider the one that came to be like us, that's Hebrews 2:14 through 17, consider the one who didn't come to be served, but to serve, consider the one that is to give his life as a ransom for many. Consider the one that came to destroy the devil and his works, Hebrews 2:14. Notice there's a lot of Hebrews coming here through the purposes of Christ. Consider the one who is here to give eternal life, praise God. Consider the one that calls sinners to repentance. Consider him who is to be our faithful high priest. That's Hebrews 2:17 and following. Consider him. Consider him in worship. Consider him through worship. Consider what he says to you and me. And I'm going to play another worship song. And again, I invite you to stand and sing and belt it out from your heart. And at the same time, we're going to release the children at this point to their ministry. And those of you that are discipling our children, thank you. Thank you for considering Christ and it to be a privilege to pour into our children. Thank you that you don't run in at the last second and whip something together to babysit children. I thank you for the intentional commitment that is made to make a difference in eternity in little hearts and souls. See, if you don't consider Christ, you won't consider his church. Or if you consider Christ lightly, you'll consider his church family lightly. If you consider what he did for you lightly, you'll consider what you do for him lightly. I want you to hear him, the words of his song that we'll sing, and really the heart of Scripture. He says, come to the table. Come to the table. I don't care who you are, where you've been, but this is what I want. I want you to show up with passion. I don't want you to show up and check off that you did something. I don't want you to show up and say, well, listen, at least I made part of the gig. He says, I want you to show up ready, willing, and wanting to worship. Consider this Christ. release our children to our bridge builders, and I invite every adult. And if you're in the fifth grade or above, I'd encourage you to stay. Moms and dads, we're going to show some of Jesus on the cross. So if you don't feel that's appropriate for your child, by all means, you send them back. But my prayer is that today we'll all learn how to consider Christ and draw closer to him. I invite you to the table. Come to the table.
Outside looking in, this is where grace begins. We were hungry, we were thirsty, with nothing left to give, oh, the shape that we were in. And just when all hope seemed lost, love opened the door. Said, come to the table. Come join the sinners who have been redeemed. Take your place beside the Savior. Sit down and be set free. Come to the table. Liars and these thieves, there's no one unwelcome here. And that sin and shame that you brought with you, you can leave it at the door and let mercy draw you. To the hero and the coward, to the prisoner and the soldier, to the young and to the older, all who hunger, all who thirst, all the last and all the first, all the paupers and the princes, all who fail, we've been forgiven, all who dream and all who suffer, all who loved and lost another, all the chains. To the table.
Amen. I'm going to ask you in advance, Matthew, from now on, crank up that song. There's too many of you listening and not singing. Too many of you not engaged. Consider these truths, friends. It's the whole heartbeat. Not to come and hear, but to come and be. That God's word will change us. That we come and we're worshiping together. Lord, I pray that we'll be overwhelmed by the power of your love. Lord, I pray that we'll be overwhelmed as we consider you, fixing our eyes on you, that we will remember all of who you are and what you have done. In Jesus' name, amen. I pray that you'll be overwhelmed by his power, Acts 1:8, that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you and you'll be his witnesses. Consider that, church. Consider that. Is that you? Is that you? See, the big idea today is that I pray and that you will pray that we will have our faith grow and the glory of God spread as we consider Christ more carefully. Really, truly consider him. Not a bunch of theology, not a bunch of philosophy, but you personally. I was dead in my sins and you came and died so that I could live. Think about that. Consider that. Is that really true? I'm telling you, if you can be a bump on the log, it's not true. There's no way that you could be sentenced to death, sitting on the electric chair, watching a guy about to pull the hammer down, and somebody says, time out, stop. Get up and get out. I'm going to take your spot. Now, all you do is you go and you tell people what I did and how much I loved you. And before you leave, watch them fry me because I want to make sure that you don't forget this. And you stand there and you watch the hammer come down and the life comes out and it's disgusting. Tell me you walk out of that room selfishly, not appreciative. And I'll tell you something's wrong. Something's wrong. This is what Jesus says. John 12:24-27. Truly, truly, I say to you, Jesus speaking, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I have come to this hour. Consider Jesus coming to die for you. For the joy set before him, consider Christ and his cross and his cup. Watch this. Morning, we will look at what it is to define and understand the cross, to be crucified, and a cup. I want to ask you right now before we go into God's word, if I said to you, choose your walk, would you rather take this big old cross or the cup? Most of you recognizing what the cross represents says, I don't know what's in that cup, but I'll definitely take that over the cross. Well, you're going to see before we're done this morning that you cannot understand the cross if you do not first understand the cup. And I pray that before we finish, you'll thank God above, you'll thank Jesus the Christ, that your call is simply to pick up a cross and that you've not been called to pick up the cup. You see, most look at the cross, and if you're anything like I am, if you've been exposed in church to the reality, the facts of what took place, the minimal facts of the cross, you see nails, you know of pain. But most of us have never really looked into the cup. And I want to say to you this morning that in order to understand the cross and your cross, first, we have to look in the cup. And to look into the cup, it's to go and meet Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Let me read to you from the Gospel of Matthew 26, verses 36 through 46. And I encourage you to come with me if you have your Bibles. Listen to what God's Word says when we look at Jesus in the garden. Did you hear over and over again, not my will, but your will be done? God's word says, then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray.
And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be grieved and distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me." And he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but your will be done." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So, you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. That spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away again a second time and prayed, saying a second time, "My Father, if this cup cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done." Again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them again and went away and prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more, which is, "My Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done." I ask you, what's up with this cup? That it would bring Jesus the Christ, God the Son, to this place of anguish. I want to draw your attention this morning to the cup, because you cannot understand the cross if you do not understand the cup. Let's take a look at what it is. You see, Jesus, after saying this, recognizing that now it's time, the time has come, he says this in verse 46. Now continuing and finishing this conversation with the disciples, he says, get up, let us be going. Let's get to it, boys. Get up, let's go. Behold, the one who betrays me is at hand. He's not afraid of the betrayal. He's not afraid of the cross. What has him distraught is the cup. To understand the cross, you must understand the cup. What is this cup? This cup defines the cross in many ways. This cup has four components to it. What Jesus is talking about and what has him in this state is that there is a very real physical pain that is about to come. Pain and death. The cross is about real pain, real death. This was what was thought to be the most heinous and torturous way to put somebody to death, and Jesus knew it. This cross was often used in Jesus' times to hang the Christians and others. They would literally put somebody up on the cross and then pour tar or pitch on them and light them on fire and use them as lamps in the Roman kingdom. Jesus knew where he was going for you and for me, if you're a child of God. And that is not what had him in anguish. That is not what had him asking the Father to take this cup away if there was any way. Stephen walked into martyrdom and shone like an angel. Jesus was not backing away from the reality of physical pain and death. Jesus knew he was about to bear the pain of separation, of abandonment. The Bible says that not long after he was taken away, the disciples almost immediately scattered and left him. They deserted him. He was abandoned. He was separated from those who said that they love him. I thought of this yesterday as I was preparing. I left our home And as I was leaving early in the morning, my little guy, Silas, stood in our storm glass window in the door. And he just looked at me as Daddy was going away to work. And I mean to tell you, it locked my heart up. I stopped the car and pulled back in the driveway, went in and just called him out to give him a hug and kiss him. That separation tore at my heart. And I knew I'd be with him later that night. Jesus knew that he would be separated and abandoned by all these people that said that they loved him. But more than that, he knew that once the sin of humanity rest upon his shoulders, once he took all of our sins, that in Habakkuk 1 we're told that a holy God, his Father, could not look upon him. God could not have union with him when he bore all of that sin. And he knew in that moment that there would be separation from the Father. I want you to think for a minute of how you would struggle with the idea of being a true isolated island away from anyone and anything that you cared about. In the midst of physical torture, in mental anguish, the idea of looking at the one that loves you and just seeing that they have to turn away because there's so much disdain. This is where Jesus is looking into the cup. But perhaps worst of all, the fourth component of pain that represents that cup and what was in that cup is that he knew that when he came to this cross, he would bear on his own the full wrath of God. The wrath, the torture of the wrath of God. Think, when we talk about hell, if you're uncomfortable talking about hell or looking at what the Bible says about hell, what I want you to realize is Jesus didn't go to the cross like some sugar daddy. You know, I used to think when I'd go out to dinner with my dad, it would cost something, and I knew we'd go to expensive restaurants, and my dad would pay the bill. And I knew it was a lot, and I knew he had a lot. So you know what? I didn't really appreciate it. And I didn't really think it took anything from him. Since he had a lot, it wasn't a big deal. I think a lot of us, when we talk about Jesus dying for our sins on the cross, we think of him as a sugar daddy and not as a suffering servant. We don't understand what really took place on that cross. If we did, I promise you, we would have a totally different perspective on what it means to be called a Christian and the calling each Christian receives. See, if we see clearly what really took place, if we understand what the church world calls substitutionary atonement, if we understand what really took place on that cross, how much Jesus did personally for each and every believer. Oh, I tell you what, we would have a very different walk.
You see, friends, I'm not coming to you asking you to consider Jesus just because I want to inform you. I'm not even coming just so that I can help you to be inspected by the Lord. I'm coming hoping, praying that by His Spirit you'll be inspired. That when you truly consider what took place on the cross, it'll change you eternally by the grace of God. If you'll embrace the miraculous work of His Spirit, you'll be changed forever. And you'll stop pushing back when you hear things like, "Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciples." Those are Jesus' words. Oh Lord, I pray that your grace will overwhelm us. Lord, I pray that we will want to worship you, that by considering you more carefully and more closely, as we come to consider not just your cross, but your cup, we'll see the privilege that it is to be called to pick up our cross and to follow you. Oh Lord, may we be changed by your love and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I'm going to now ask you, if you would, to take that to heart. Again, make it personal. Those that are going to help us, we're going to distribute the elements, and I'm asking you to consider Christ by taking communion. You see, this is where we go from considering to remembering. A song is about to play as the elements are to be distributed, and here again, I invite you, if you'd like, to stand and sing from the very core of your being, or sit and pray. Or if you don't know who Jesus is, then sit and listen, because this is going to tell our story as we prepare to consider him through communion by taking symbols of his broken body and his spilt blood and going from considering to remembering. Gentlemen, if you will, bring us the elements. Amen. You see, when we consider Christ, We have to get down to this place of amazing grace. And if your remembering and considering and fixing does not end up with following, something's wrong. This is the Word of God. This is what he says. This is not my commentary. This is the Word of God. He said, listen, if you love me, you will obey my commands. You know, those who believe on the Lord have life. Those who do not obey do not have life, but the wrath of God remains or abides or continues to be on them. Oh, friend, I pray that you're considering Christ through not only communion, but through his compassion. Think about what he did. You know, I look at this and I'm taken back by the fact that we've been told here in the scripture to consider him. You know, when we get to this place of communion and the Lord is with his disciples right before the cross, he says, do this in remembrance of me. I pray that you see the contextualization here. Who considers? Well, some people who know and some people who don't know. You see, Hebrews is written again to an audience that is church, but it's small c church. Some are saved, some are not. The author doesn't know, so he says in Hebrews, consider. What's the difference between considering and remembering? Remembering is first-hand knowledge, like a witness. Remember, such a great cloud of witnesses. Who are witnesses? Witnesses are people with first-hand knowledge. When you remember, it's a deliberate recollection. You are intentionally going back to what you have first-hand knowledge of. Otherwise, you're just going to have to consider and contemplate. Jesus says when we as believers, when we consider him, we need to remember. We need to fix our eyes on him. We need to remember what he's done. Strong's Concordance says remembering is a deliberate recollection. It's an experiential revisiting. It's a redemptive reminiscing. Think about that. Biblical remembering is a redemptive reminiscing. And Jesus said, I want you to remember me. And so now I ask you to take the bread as a part of considering Christ. Let us consider what he did on the cross. Take this bread and eat of it, remembering his broken body. And I said to you again, in the spirit of both remembering and considering the crucifixion, what we symbolize here in communion, I said, consider, if you would, his lasting love and his flowing blood. And that's what the cup represents. Consider Christ and the blood that was spilled for you to cleanse you if you are a Christian. And if you're not a Christian, this is not for you. I should have said it before I gave you the bread. Know this. This is for biblical believers. Because you cannot remember what you have not experienced. And if he is not your Lord, then you are not yet in the family of God. But I ask those of you that are believers, saved by grace through faith, not of work, so that no one will boast. Nobody got baptized into believing. Nobody worked their way in. You're either captured by grace or you're still waiting. Those of you that have been captured by grace through faith, take this cup now and remember the spilled blood of Christ. I want you to realize that the lost can only consider, but the found can remember. What a blessing that is. I want you to consider him, and here again, consider what he did for you and me, Christian, on the cross. Make it personal, please. If there is one thing in your life that you need to understand, it is what happened at the cross. You must understand what was in the cup, that you will understand what took place at the cross, that you would understand what I showed you last week in this graphic of what it is to be born again. Born, large cross, small cross, again. You see, when we're told that we're to pick up our cross daily and follow Jesus, he's not saying, get a little cleaned up. He's not saying, do something nice for your neighbor.
He's saying that if you are going to be born again, you must die to self. That you must crucify the old self. Let me read to you again Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. God's word, not a radical Baptist preacher. God's word. He says, Paul speaking now, teaching the Galatians, I have been crucified with Christ. I went to the cross. I have been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. That is the call of every true Christian. Those that have been born again must have first, through the gift, the sheer gift of repentance and grace, have been crucified to self. You see, Christ's cup, his cross, give definition and insight into your cross, my cross. It's not deciding to teach Sunday school. It's not getting involved with the ministry. Those aren't crosses. Those are privileges. Romans 12:1 tells us that we're to offer our bodies as living sacrifices. John 13:38, will you lay down your life for me? Jesus asks. Will you lay down your life? Will you truly surrender? Philippians 1:29 says, get ready, every Christian. You have been granted the privilege to suffer for Christ. So, well, I don't know about that, Pastor. I didn't see that in the flyer. Nobody put that in the brochure. I'm not big on brochures, but I will point you to your Bible. And I will show you a cross that was defined by a cup that gives insight into us who are called to pick up our crosses daily. Galatians 5:24 says, now those who belong, and I want you to hear this because it's conditional. Because if you say, hey, not me, Pastor, or I'm not willing to pay that price, I understand you are free to do so. I will do all that I can to convince you otherwise. Because if you are not willing to pick up your cross daily, Jesus said you're not worthy of his discipleship. Galatians 5:24 says, now those who belong to Christ, Jesus, they have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. Crucified is death. That's not life support, and it's not simple torture where you get down after a while. The old self must die by the gift of God, a beautiful divine funeral, that a Holy Spirit-empowered life may begin. Without the funeral, there is no new birth. For if you have not crucified the old, then the old still lives. It doesn't mean that we're going to be perfect. It doesn't mean that we're not going to have struggles. What it means is that we address and we come into these struggles differently. And when we stumble and when we trip up, it truly breaks our heart, because we know that we have just grieved the Lord. That when we stumble, we see ourselves in that cup that Christ drank, and it breaks our heart. For those that are able to wink at sin and point at grace in some perverted way, as if to say that's my get out of jail free card, and what's the use of having it if you're not going to use it every once in a while, you know what I mean? They will be shocked at the gates of eternity. There's a reason why Jesus said what he said in Matthew 7:21 through 23. On that day, there will be many who come to me and say, Lord, Lord, did I not A, B, C, D, E? And Jesus said, on that day, I will say to you, away from me, I never knew you.
You see, friends, this is critically important that when we consider Christ, we consider the real Christ. You and I know far too many people who have settled into a consideration of a caricature of Christ. You know, either the hippie Jesus or the Mr. Potato Head Jesus, where you make him look and act however you want him to look and act. But when you consider the God of the Bible, the Christ of Christianity, there's no such wiggle room. And that's for your and my blessing, by the way. Don't you know, if you and I had wiggle room, we'd work that into a whole world of trouble. I thank God that he has made so clear the narrow path. And I curse those who try to broaden the road to any of you or those you know and love. Galatians 1, 6 through 9, I don't stand alone twice. Damn those who sell you any other gospel, Paul says. I want to ask you to consider, if not remember, the real Jesus. Todd Agnew paints a real clear picture, and I pray this too blesses you as you consider and remember and fix your eyes on Jesus.
How you see him as he dies for your sins. But the word says he was battered and scarred. Did you miss that part? Sometimes I doubt we'd recognize him. Cause my Jesus bled and died. He spent his time with thieves and the of these. He loved the poor and the cost and the comfortable. So which one do you want? would never be accepted in my church. The blood and dirt on his feet might stain the carpet, but he reaches for the hurting and despises the proud. And I think he prefers Beale Street to the stained glass crowd. And I know that he can't hear me if I cry out loud. I wanna be like my Jesus. I wanna be like my Jesus. I wanna be like my Jesus. Yeah, yeah. I wanna be like my Jesus. Oh, 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 oh. Not a poster child for American prosperity, but like my Jesus. You see, I'm tired of living for success and popularity. I wanna be like my Jesus, but I'm not sure what that means, to be like you, Jesus. 'Cause you said to live like you, to love like you, but then you died for me. Can I be like you, Jesus? I wanna be like you, Jesus. I wanna be like my Jesus.
So when I ask you to consider Christ, and mind you, again, it's not me asking, I'm just reading to you the Word of God. Consider Him. Consider Him. Truly, deeply, personally, passionately, consider Him. Which Jesus do you want? You want the Jesus with the long nails? Or do you want the caricature of Christ that's going around our culture saying it's all about you? That it's not about learning to love Him, live for Him, learn more about worshiping Him and bringing Him glory. No, it's about a cheap grace that says, hey, listen, that's why He came. He wants you to have the American dream. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Blood-stained lies. There's not an ounce of the American dream in your Bible. The ability and the promise that you could live more to the full and have it all is to have Him. The question is, have you considered the God of the Bible? Have you considered the Christ of biblical Christianity? Listen to 1 Peter 2:21 through 25. For to this you have been called, Christian, for to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example. Surely that must be somebody else, Rob. He's not talking to you and me. There's no way that that example would be for us. Suffered for you, leaving you an example. Well, who do you suppose he's talking to there? Do you ever notice there are parts of the Bible that nobody wants to own up to? It's like that Matthew 7, 21 through 23. I don't know who he's talking about there, but surely not us. I'll tell you what, it's the people that don't think it's about them that are in the most danger. He did that so that you might follow in his steps. Consider Christ. Consider him who endured. Those are the next words. We'll go there next week. But he set us an example. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. That we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Those who remember, don't just consider, but remember, who fix their eyes on Jesus and by faith follow him to the end, to the end. Yes, Lord, no matter what. We're coming to a close from the 2010 message, but again, I bring your heart, I hope, to a place of deep contemplation, that you will intentionally contemplate these truths that will take you up to the ladder of our Lord's love. Watch this, please.
To understand the cross, you must understand the cup. To understand your cross, you must first understand his cross. To understand that every Christian has been called to be crucified to self. Which Jesus are you holding to? Your man-made one that allows you to sit and soak in your sin? Or the Jesus of the Bible? Do you want to play Mr. Potato Head with God and make him look the way you want to look? Or are you willing to look at the cross and say, thank you that I have the privilege of picking up my cross, and praise God I don't have to drink the cup? Listen to what God's word says in Romans chapter 6, verse 6 and 7. Know this, that our old self was crucified with him. Paul is speaking to true Christians. Not Sunday Christians, not people who want to get out of jail free card, not people who know how to quote a couple of chapters, not people who've been in the church for 30 years, not the resume, the relational, born again, those who have had a funeral for self when self was crucified, believers. He said, know this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. We're not going to be perfect, but we will no longer be under the bondage of sin. For he who has died, Jesus on the big cross, for he who has died set us free. Those who have died personally have been freed from sin. Colossians 3, 1 through 5 say this. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died. For you have died. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead. The value of our lives, yours, mine, and everybody walking the planet, is not going to be determined by what we do with it. It will be determined based on what God does through us. It's not about us, it's about him. We're here to bring glory to God. And when there's a funeral for the old sinful fleshy self, and when we have truly surrendered, not 95%, not 98%, you see, you can't go and be crucified and stay on life support. The old self must die to receive the promises of those who are adopted, born again children of God.
You see, friends, when we consider Christ, we have to then understand and consider true Christianity. If you are a Christian, it is because you have been born again. That means you died once. That's the essence of our personal crosses. This is how and why, when Jesus says, unless you are willing to pick up your cross daily and follow me, you cannot be my disciples. Listen, I have good news and bad news. Unless you're willing to pick up your cross daily, you cannot be his disciples. That's good news and bad news. The good news is, in part, you have clarity now. You know. So if you're living a life where you think you've found that compromise channel where the road broadens up just enough to where you can actually haggle and negotiate your way down the road, you're going to be shocked on Judgment Day. The good news is now you know. The bad news is that's non-negotiable. This is part of what considering Christ brings to bear by coming to the Word of God. I ask you, if you doubt me, go to the scriptures. Please go to the scriptures over and over and over again. Understand that we have a king that is also a suffering servant. I plead with you. Go read Isaiah 53. I just quoted to you from 1 Peter. That's in part quoting out of Isaiah 53. This cup of wrath that Jesus drank for you and me, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Zechariah, Habakkuk, the Psalms, Revelation, it's all in. This is the wrath of God taken down for you if you're a Christian. That doesn't happen and leave you unchanged. It just doesn't. I ask you to consider Christ as King. He's not just the crucified one who drank the cup. He's King Jesus, who was crucified and drank that cup for the joy set before him of saving your soul, Christian. Get up and charge this commission that he gives us. I want to again give you a song of worship. We're going to include the worshiping of the Lord through our giving, our tithes and offerings. Those that are going to take the offering today, if you would. You say, hang on, that's a change of our order of service. We don't do that then. Listen, we worship and everything else is subject to change. We worship because Christ is King. Listen to this, I pray. Worship the Lord with your giving and consider him who was crucified and drank the cup and demonstrated this compassion and bore the church and realize this is King Christ who's done this for you.
I try to fit you in the walls inside my mind. I try to keep you safely in between the lines. Try to put you in the box that I've designed. I try to pull you down so we are eye to eye. When did I forget that you've always been the King of the world? I try to take life back right out of the hands of the King of the world. How could I make you so small when you're the one who holds it all? When did I forget that you've always been the King of the world? Just a whisper of your voice can tame the seas. So who am I to try to take the lead? Still I run ahead and I think I'm strong enough. When you're the one who made me from the dust. When did I forget that you've always been the King of the world? I try to take life back right out of the hands of the King of the world. How could I make you so small when you're the one who holds it all? When did I forget that you've always been the King of the world? Ooh, you set it all in motion. Every single moment you brought it all to be. And you're holding on to me. Take life back right out of the hands of the King of the world. How could I make you so small when you're the one who holds it all? When did I fall? King of the world. You will always be the King of the world.
With you to consider the King of the world. I plead with you to personally, passionately, powerfully, to consider him who was crucified for you, who drank the cup for you, who demonstrated the compassion for you, who gave birth to the church for you, who literally, literally championed your salvation. I plead with you to consider this Christ that Acts 4:12 says, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Do you consider the crucifixion, the resurrection, the Christ who is Jesus? Oh, friends, I plead with you. I have one last closing thought from 2010, and then we're going to land this here in the present in a way that I pray will change you forever. Consider this closing thought from back then. I ask you, are you comfortable in understanding now what Jesus took when he swallowed the cup, when he drank it all down, every drop, what fully took place on the cross? Our need to die to self and to pick up daily our instrument of self-death, that we would embrace a life of servitude as slaves to a divine master. Say, Pastor Jeff, you've got an advertising background. You know that doesn't sell. I'm not a salesman. I'm a shepherd. My job is to bring you the truth that will set you free. And if anybody, and I don't care what their resume looks like, takes one syllable away from God's gospel, they are lying and they will take you to hell. You won't get a lot of that in typical advertising. But I promise you, it's the map home to heaven and eternal life with Jesus the Christ. I plead with you to consider the gospel and the reality that all of our hope and only a true hope can be found in Christ. You have no hope anywhere else, and yet all you need is in him. Josh and John Ray here in Maryland and Chaplain Mike in Vermont are about to distribute something. I ask you to take this song in again. Stand and sing if you'd like. Let the words be a prayer, but let this help you to consider and take one each, if you will, of about what's coming to you right now, and then we'll close.
From above, I've been down to the river. I ain't the same, a prodigal returned. All my hope is in Jesus. Gone. All my sins are forgiven. And I've been washed by the blood. I'm no stranger to the prison. I've worn shackles and chains, but I've been freed and forgiven. Yes, I have. I'm not going back. I'll never be the same. That's why I sing. All my hope is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday's a man, break him down to his knees. God, I've been broken more than a time or two. Yes, Lord, then he picked me up and showed me what it means to be a man. Come on and sing.
All my hope is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday's gone. Yes, all my sins are forgiven. I've been washed by the blood.
Come on and sing.
All my hope is in Jesus.
This is what we come to. This is the crescendo of considering Christ. You see, you gotta go through the cross. You gotta go through all of that to get to this place of grace. I've given you something to take away that I pray will help you to forever remember and consider Christ. Inside the cup, you have a business card that has lifewithoutchrist.com and surrendertovictory.com. These two are here to help you to remember the mission of our Messiah and the need of so many for the miracle of His grace. Inside the cup, you'll find a nail that's to remind you and me of the personal part that we play in all of this, that you and I were the nails that held Christ to the cross. When you consider Christ, when you remember what He's done for you and me, hold that nail, keep that nail, be forever reminded of who you are and the grace you've received. In that cup is a stone that's there to remind you that the promises of our Christ are guarantees. It represents the stone that was rolled away when our King walked out and defeated death. This is who you are in Christ. This is what you remember. This is what you consider. This is what He did for the joy set before Him, to roll that stone away and to defeat death, that you could live eternal with Him. And I pray after today you understand now why I give you a cup. That you'll never ever forget the cup. But here's the twist. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to leave you with one last closing song of praise. And I ask you to listen and lift it up as best you can from your heart. But let's go back to the cup. Why do you have the cup? Why did I give you a cup? So that you could throw it away, because you don't need a cup. So that you will forever remember that the cup was drank. You don't need a cup. Pick up your cross and follow Him. That's our privilege. We can do this in Christ. You can do all things in Christ who gives you strength. That's what you walk away with when you consider Christ, when you remember what was done. Oh, let us be the people whose walk, whose work, whose worship is our witness, because we know that we know that we know this crucified and risen King. Oh God, please, I pray, change us to where there's a passion. Lord, let there not be this complacent, compromising spirit. No, give us a heart that burns with your fire of faith because we have considered you. We fix our eyes on you. We remember what you did for us, what you accomplished. And Lord, I pray with a hint of conviction that when we remember what you did for us, that we recall what we did to you. that your amazing grace never gets stale. Oh, Lord, let us be the people of this closing song, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Stand and sing if you can.
I'm not a warrior. I'm too afraid to lose. I feel unqualified for what you're calling me to. Lord, with your strength, I've got no excuse. 'Cause broken people are exactly who you use. So give me faith like Daniel in the lion's den. Give me hope like Moses in the wilderness. Give me a heart like David, Lord, be my defense. So I can face my giants with confidence. You took a shepherd boy and made him a king. So I'm gonna trust you and give you everything. I'll be a conqueror, 'cause you fight for me. I'll be a champion, claiming your victory. So give me faith like Daniel in the lion's den. Give me hope like Moses in the wilderness. Sing and shout and shake the wall. Won't stop until I see them fall. Gonna stand up, step back when you call. Jesus, Jesus. I'm gonna sing and shout and shake the wall. Won't stop until I see them fall. Gonna stand up, step back when you call. Jesus. Give me faith like Daniel in the lion's den. Give me hope like Moses in the wilderness. Give me a heart like David, Lord, be my defense. So I can face my giants with confidence. My giants with confidence. I'm not a warrior. I'm too afraid to lose. I feel unqualified for what you're calling me to. Lord, with your strength, I've got no excuse. 'Cause broken people are exactly who you use. So give me faith like Daniel in the lion's den. Give me hope like Moses in the wilderness. Give me a heart like David, Lord, be my defense. So I can face my giants with confidence. Shepherd boy and made him a king. So I'm gonna trust you and give you everything. I'll be a conqueror, 'cause you fight for me. I'll be a champion, claiming your victory. So give me faith like Daniel in the lion's den. Give me hope like Moses. Lord, be my defense, so I can face. shout and shake the wall. Won't stop until I see them fall. Gonna stand up, step out when you call. Jesus, Jesus. I'm gonna sing and shout and shake the wall. Won't stop until I see them fall. Gonna stand up, step out when you call. Jesus. You may feed the like Daniel in the lion's den. Give me hope like Moses in the wilderness. Give me a heart like David. Lord, be my defense, so I can face my giants with confidence. Yeah! Give me faith like Daniel in the lion's den. Give me hope like Moses in the wilderness. My giants with confidence.
I had asked the worship team originally to be as fluid as could be. I didn't expect you to hear the worship team at all. We were going to jump right in without them even starting. They were going to practice because you know what? When they were practicing worship, you know what they were doing? They were worshiping. So there's no reason to say, hey, don't practice today because we're not... No, you worship. But when I heard them sharing this song this morning, I thought, there's no way to not have that song be a part of this message. I could just see their hearts united and beautifully being lifted up. And it was at the heart of this message. And so then I asked again, close with this same song. Those of you that weren't here didn't hear it at the beginning. You're going to hear it now. And I've also asked this song and only this song so that you stay fixed on what Jesus just said to you today. Amen. And the worship team not think about an order of service or next songs or how does this go in. You just stay fixed, following, remembering, considering. Remember when death died in your life. That's the essence of considering and remembering Christ. And if and when you forget this and juggling the world gets in the way, repent. Repent and come home to this place. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Jeff. Today is an answered prayer. Amen. I have to tell you, my personal prayers, and I know in our prayer meetings on Friday, and I'd love to see more people really engaging, praying, and coming to pray together corporately. But the prayer we've been praying is in Ephesians 3, where Paul said, Lord, show them, please, I'm on my knees every night and day praying, show them the height, the depth, the breadth, and the width of your love. Father, please show them how much and great your love is so that when they know that, they're going to set the world on fire for my glory. They'll be at peace in the storm. They'll not hunger for anything else other than your righteousness, Lord. They'll be able to look others in the eye and say, please repent. I want to see you there. They won't be afraid of man. They'll celebrate you. One of my favorite verses in John 17:26. Father, I let your name be known. Father, I let them know your name for this one reason, so that they may know the love that you have for me and that they will have the same love. God answered prayer today because he showed me personally his love that I hadn't considered that cup. I'm so grateful for answering prayers. He answers prayers. I told the pastor yesterday that after our prayer meeting Friday night, I said, I am so confident God's going to answer those prayers because we asked them in his will. We asked them in his name. And not one person prayed for themselves. They prayed for you and me. And for the word of God to go. This is a small body, but with a great God. Amen. And we're growing at his design and at your willingness to jump in and be part of his call. Father, I thank you. What a day. What the beginning of the week that we have and had. And there's no reason that every moment can't be filled with the joy, Thank you for taking the cup. May we easily take up the cross, because you said it's not burdensome if you do it. When death was arrested. Love you. Have a great week in the Lord. Amen.
You have made me new, now life begins.
thank you so much. Thank you so much for your grace, your beautiful, beautiful grace, your kindness, your love, your compassion. And may we never forget the words, consider you, Jesus, to consider you, Jesus, and to remember you every second of the day. Amen. Good work up there. I love you guys. See you soon.